Well, again, good morning. It's great to be together. I was telling in the other service how on a morning like this, when you can hear, and I'm not hearing it right now, the thunder in the distance, you know, there are always in life distractions, it seems like, which is an interesting thing. Yeah, I was reminded as I listened to the thunder earlier during that service of a friend of mine who is a pastor in a church with a beautiful sanctuary and a big glass window behind the pulpit. Some of you, I think, here have been there possibly. There's a cross back there, but otherwise you just look out onto the beautiful forest behind, which I've always thought when I've been there, it's just such a cool thing. I would love to preach there almost like you're outdoors. And he said, yeah, it's not always so great. You know, like there's a hawk that lives up in that one tree, and there'll be a squirrel running by. And people are listening to my sermon, but you see their eyes wandering. So anyway, it's interesting how in life there are always distractions. And some of those we come with inside of ourselves. And you know, as Pastor Jonna mentioned, there are some coming this morning who, whether it's been just in the past week or over the past weeks or months or even years, come here wrestling with grief. It's just a reality that we live with. Or the swirl of challenges in the world around us. Or a sense of loneliness within us. Or a opportunity that we're thinking about for tomorrow. That all of these things are happening. This is life for us human beings. And in the midst of it, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's important for us to come and, as Psalm 46 says, be still, once in a while at least. Be still and know who God is. And before God, as we worship, to pray that God would give us ears to hear in the midst of all of those distractions, to hear his voice, to hear the good shepherd leading us on the path, wonderful or challenging as it might be this day, to lead us forward. So let's pray for that right now. Lord God, we do thank you for this beautiful day with all of its beauty and with all of its challenges. And we do pray for safety and protection for those who are in difficult circumstances today. We do pray your peace, Lord, for those who are grieving today. We do pray, Lord, for your wisdom for those who are thinking about opportunities or decisions to be made. We, Lord, would cast all our anxieties and all of our hopes and dreams before you and pray that in these moments especially, as we look to your holy word, that you would grant us ears to hear, that we might follow you on the path of life. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So a number of years ago, I tried out a job. Maybe you remember Pastor Steve talking 2 weeks ago about vocations and how any vocation that God calls you to is holy. Whatever God calls you to do in life is holy. And for us to understand that, whether we're a student or whether we're an accountant or whether we're a custodian or whether we're a pastor, it's all holy and important before God. So I was at a point where I was trying out some different hats, so to speak, vocations. And so I tried sales for about 2 or 3 months. I'm not sure if it was the fence company that learned that wasn't my right vocation first or if it was me. But I worked for a fence company in the Washington, D.C. area for 2 or 3 months. And we were starting up, me and this colleague, a new division, a new department in this large fence company. And our job was to sell automatic gates, iron gates for, well, typically a high-end home or business. And, of course, any iron fencing that they wanted to go with those gates. And so I remember going to this one money manager's house, or I should call it an estate, I suppose. It's in Potomac, Maryland, which is one of the most expensive zip codes in the United States, just outside of Washington, D.C. And as we drove up his long driveway through an opening where the gate wasn't, came up to this beautiful home, we were met by the personal assistant of the money manager. We never did meet him. This man that we met is in charge of everything for this guy's house, for his personal life. He has his checkbook. He is trusted completely. And so we began talking to him about the gates that he would need out front. Actually, the driveway was circular, even though it was about 2 miles long. So we needed a gate at least here and a gate there. So already we're off to a pretty good start. But as we're talking to him, he said, you know, we're thinking about improving our security and lighting systems around here. And we're like, oh, you know, we could do that too. Thinking, you know, we can always subcontract to somebody. And so we started walking the palatial estate. And as he talked about the lighting they wanted near the tennis courts and whatnot, he said, oh, yeah, we could do that. And as he talked about the security system and upgrading that, we said, sure, we can do that. And we just kept saying yes to everything he threw our way, thinking, we'll find somebody who can do it. Well, the next day we went into to work, and the manager of the office we were working out of called us in to sit down with him. And I don't remember his whole speech to us, but I do remember a few little tidbits, like we're a fence company. That really stuck with me. We sell fences. We don't sell lighting, we don't sell security systems. And he went on, I just remember something about a submarine, something about a screen door for a submarine. You know, we don't do any of that, he said. We sell fences, that's our mission. And they were doing really well by it. I've never forgotten that, because as I've worked with businesses, as I've worked with churches, as I've worked on my own life in Christ, I come back again and again to how important it is for us to know what our mission is. What are we here for? Because if you look back over the last 50 years at the Fortune 500 or Fortune 50 or even the Fortune 10 companies, it's changed over a lot. And some of that's had to do certainly with the environment, the environment in which those companies are operating, but much of it often has to do with the company itself losing its way, its sense of mission, what it's really here for. And so it's important for companies, for organizations, and for churches to go back again and again. Why are we here? What's our mission? What is it that we're called to do? So today what we're going to do in the midst of this Mission Possible series is to look at what is this mission that God's calling us to that might seem impossible to us. It might seem hard to us. It might seem awkward to us. But you know what? It's our mission. It's what we're called together to do. And if we forget that in the midst of all the good things that there are to do in this world, we're going to lose our way. In churches, you know, this has happened again and again and again. Healthy, good, vibrant, fruitful churches forget their core mission, are busy doing all kinds of good things, and, well, come to the end of the road for them. I pray that that won't happen for us. I pray, in fact, that even today, this month, as we focus on this Mission Possible series, that we will claim again this mission that God has called us to and give ourselves wholeheartedly to it. So let's look back at when Jesus articulated that mission to his disciples following his resurrection. You might remember, this is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the close, the end of the age. That's the mission. And so I want to take some time this morning to look back at that articulation of the mission for those first disciples. This is often what a company will do when they want to get refocused and renew their sense of mission. They'll look back to their founding and their founding fathers and mothers to kind of discern what was that mission and how do we in this world, this time, recommit ourselves to it. And so I want to do kind of like an investigative journalist would do. Let's go back there and ask those kinds of questions that would be asked. The what, the who, the when, the where, those kinds of questions. And let's start with what. What's the mission? Music's important here at Salem, by the way. Is that our mission? You can say no. Is music our mission? It's important. It's actually a means to our end of our mission of worshiping God, leading others to worship God, inviting people into that fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But our mission is to make disciples of all nations. Our mission is to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And actually, today's Trinity Sunday. It's a Sunday out of the whole year where we especially celebrate who God is, who God has been revealed to us as in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is at the heart of our mission. It's to invite people, welcome people into that fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This fellowship, this communion that was taking place before the creation of the world. And that's our faith, the Christian faith, is that this love of God that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were enjoying together before the creation of the world was so full of love, so full of joy, that it overflowed into creation. God desired others to experience that joy, experience that love. And that hasn't changed. That's what it's all about. God wants us to welcome one another and others into that fellowship. That's why we do baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's to baptize them into that fellowship. Listen to how John articulates it in 1 John chapter 1. He says, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy," and actually in the Greek it says, it's hard to tell, is it our joy or your joy, but so that it may be complete. That joy that we experience as brothers and sisters in Christ is not complete until everybody is in that fellowship together. That's our mission. It's to invite people into that. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "So we are ambassadors for Christ since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Come into that fellowship. Come into that right relationship with God. God longs for everybody to be a part of that fellowship." We here at Salem talk about it in terms of connect, grow, go. Hopefully you've heard those words before. We want people to connect with God and with one another in love. We want people to connect with God's good purpose for their lives. We want people to grow as disciples, as followers of Jesus, to grow in their understanding of the Word of God and their living it out. And we want people to go. Me and you, we want us to go into the world and make more disciples. We want us to go and share the love of God. We got to go. So what's our mission? We articulate it, connect, grow, go. But in any case, it's that more and more people enter into this living, loving fellowship of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that's one question we could ask, but I want to ask another as well. Who is it that's given this mission? I want us to think about this for a moment. How many were there? Do you remember at the beginning of the passage? Now the how many disciples? 11. Judas wasn't there. I mean, had Jesus said this 5 weeks earlier, 6 weeks earlier, be like, well, at least we got 12. But now we got 11. And we haven't done all that well. I mean, I met with some people from our missions team this past week who are preparing for Vacation Bible School. Our focus for missions that week is going to be on work being done in Thailand. We're going to build a playground to encourage children to come and be a part of that fellowship, to get to know the missionaries and get to know one another and to hear the word of God. I was told that 0.9% of the population in Thailand are Christian right now. I think about, wow, the odds against our missionaries there. How overwhelming. But that's nothing compared to these disciples. There are 11 of them in the whole world. Go and make disciples of all nations, all the people. Right. That's impossible. But Jesus says, no, it's not impossible. This is mission possible. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go. And over again, we've seen this take place. We bemoan the fact that here in the United States, less and less people are going to church. Less and less people are sincerely following Jesus Christ as their Lord, getting to know the Bible. And yeah, we can bemoan that, but I got to tell you, if you think that the odds are against us, the mission is a lot more doable. I mean, just look around this room. Are there 11 of us here? We got 200 of us here. And that's on a day when the weather might have kept some of us away. We can do this mission. This is a mission possible for us by the grace of God and with the encouragement of one another. So let's go back. And what's another question we might ask is, you know, when is this supposed to take place? And I love this one because just a few chapters before in the Gospel of Matthew, you might remember that over and over again as they kind of come close to this truth of who Jesus is, Peter says to Jesus, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you're right. Now, don't tell anybody. Don't go yet. Even at the beginning of the end of the Gospel of Luke, the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus says, wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But that's not what he says here, and that's not what he says to us. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, do you remember the word? It's two letters. I want you to say it with me. It starts with G and it ends with O. 1, 2, 3.
Go.
That's what he says to us. Just go. When? Now. Go and make disciples. Go and be about this mission. And where does God call us to go? Well, in the book of Acts at the beginning, it says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You see that circle widening. But here, he's not talking about it where. He's talking about the, you know, who it is that we reach out to wherever they might be. And over the centuries, we've followed that guideline from the book of Acts. We've sent disciples out into the growing concentric circles around the world to places like Thailand. But right now, I want you to think about the fact that more than any time in all of history, people are coming to us right here. I know that as Americans, we struggle with this. Like, all these people who think differently, who look differently, who have different religions. Think about the world that Jesus sent these 11 disciples into. And think about the world Jesus is calling you and me to go out into. And you do not have to go to Thailand necessarily. God might call you to do that. But we do have to go out into this society, out into this nation, out into among those who are immigrants, those who are refugees, those who God is bringing to us. We've got to go and love them in the name of Jesus Christ. We've got to take advantage of the opportunities that God's giving us. We may wrestle with what's best for our nation, our society, but I got to tell you, our first allegiance is to Jesus Christ, and our central mission is to this great commission to love God, to love our neighbor, and to welcome people, or as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, to entreat people, appeal to people to be reconciled to God, to come to know the love of God, to enter into that fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't let fear get in the way of that. God calls us to, what was that two-letter word? So why do we do this? Why is this so important? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So that whoever might believe in him might not perish, but have eternal life. As John says in the first epistle, if God has loved us so much, we certainly ought to love one another. And, of course, not just one another, but our neighbors beyond. Or as Paul says in Philippians 2, have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped or exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, of a slave, and being found in human flesh, humbled himself even to death, even death on a cross. Have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, and go into the world. You know, virtually, tradition tells us every one of the disciples that Jesus spoke to on that mountain that they died a martyr as they went out into the world. So if you think this world is scary to you, if you think this world, if you go out there and love your neighbor, that it might be dangerous, you're probably right. Jesus said, cost me my life. Don't go into this thinking it's not going to cost you yours. But none of that changes the mission for which we've been called. We are called to go into the world. Why? Because we have been so loved that we've got to share that love with others. Why? Because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus Christ. Therefore, go, he says. Because you don't need to be afraid as you go. I will give you everything you need, every step of the way. In fact, I will be with you every step of the way. Remember, he says, I will be with you always. Or actually in the Greek it says, all the days to the end of the earth. I love that, all the days. Those good days, the days where it seems like everything's going your way, and those days where it seems like nothing's going your way. Those days when you got the good news about something coming alive, and those days in which you got the news that something's gone terribly wrong in your body or in the body of somebody you love. I will be with you all the days. The days when it seems like your mission to the world is just reaping, bearing fruit, and those days in which it feels like I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to do. We go because Jesus calls us to go, and Jesus promises to be with us every step of the way. And so I want to invite you this morning to be still, as we've been talking about earlier, before God, and to pray, God, what does it mean for me? What's your word for me this day, this week, this summer? This year, what does it mean for me to take this mission to heart and live it out? One person after the last service came up and said, you know, a neighbor's face just popped to mind, and I need to connect with that person. I don't know what it'll be for you. Maybe it's a ministry here at Salem or beyond. One of the things I've been doing is praying that God would grant me the gift of friendships beyond my little circle. My circle's not all that little, but it's generally made up of people who already know Jesus Christ. And I'm praying that God would give me the gift of relationships with people of different religions, of different ethnic backgrounds, of maybe even different languages, and would help me to, well, start by being a friend, start by learning, getting to know their stories, and over time, I pray, sharing my story and ultimately the story of God who loved the world so much and loves this person so much that he wants this person, he wants all people to enter into that joyful, loving fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's pray quietly, silently, and ask God, what's my part in this mission, Lord, right now, this coming week and these coming months? Lord, we thank you this morning that this impossible mission was possible by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the power of your presence with those first disciples. We thank you that because of those first disciples stepping out and going in faith, that we, in fact, are here this morning. And others around the world, worshiping you. Grant, oh God, us the same heart that we would pass on to the generations following us, that we would pass on to our neighbors this invitation to life. And by your grace, may we see people, may we experience that joy that John talks about in his epistle. That joy of seeing our fellowship with you expanded and including more and more people to the glory of God and to the good of our neighbors here and around the world. For we pray in the name of our risen Lord who is with us now and all the days to the end of the age. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.